Let's just start with a little bit of Likutei Bas or Likutei on the last shiur. We discussed some issues of Hoshata as well as the din of Shulchan Echad, and then we'll move on. I noticed in the Chod HaShani of Reb Nissen Karelitz, he says that one spouse is allowed to hold the door open for the other spouse, even if they both end up touching the door at the same time, which sounds very reasonable as there's no Hoshata there really. You're not picking something up together. That doesn't really seem to fit into any of the sermon that we discussed. So he just points out that you can hold the door open for the other spouse to pick up on as you walk through the door. There's a tshuva of Dayan Weiss in Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Zayin Simen Samach Tes, Chelek Zayin Simen Samach Tes, in which he was asked whether, if I understand the shaila correctly, there is a person in need of physical assistance, a sick person, physically ill person. And the question was whether the husband and wife could together assist the ill individual in moving, meaning the husband would pick up one arm, let's say, and the wife would pick up the other arm of the chola and help the chola navigate. So Dayan Weiss is makel. On the following grounds. He quotes a Darkei Tshuva, Darkei Tshuva Sivkatan Zayin, quoting from a Tshuva's Pri HaSadeh, that allows a Suma in a Shas HaDchak situation who needs to be guided to hold on to a long object that his wife is going to be holding, even though in general, we paskin that even a long object is still bound by the issur of holding on to something together, or the practice of holding on to something together. But in a shas v'chak situation where there's no other way out, he allows a suma to hold one end of a large object and the a long and a long stick, a long string, and the wife to hold the other end. So he thinks that should be true for a choli situation as well. And husband and wife helping this chola move would be analogous to that Darkei Tshuva. And he says that here it's even better because in the case of the Summa, the wife is directly helping the Summa. Here, the husband and wife are helping a third party. So there's even less of a concern of any kind of any kind of hergel aveira or the like. So Dayan Weiss sends the bimekel on this shaila along those grounds. We discussed last time, and some raised questions about the analogy of the Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu regarding lighting a pipe from a candle held by your spouse. And I mentioned last time I hadn't seen the Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu inside, so I tried to rectify that since the last year. Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu Simen Samechei, which is cited here in the Piskei Tshuva, the Yad Eliyahu was late 1600s, early 1700s in Lublin. The gist of the tshuva is about a separate related issue. The majority of the tshuva was whether a wife or a husband can, sorry, whether a wife can finish the half-used pipe of a husband. If the husband smoked out half of the tobacco in the pipe, can the wife smoke the other half? Is that considered shirei machal or shirei mashka, which we'll be talking about over the next shir? So that's not our topic. And the very end of that tshuva, tucked away, he has what the Piskei Tshuva quoted, which is really doesn't explain anymore. Is Mitzayin the Mishnah in Machshirin, as we noticed, Mitzayin the comment of the Bar Tanura there, and all he says is Mizeh yesh lahavi raya ledin. He doesn't spell it out, but he says you can derive from that din of Zeh and the Mishnah Machshirin what the din would be if a woman wants to hold the candle in order to allow her husband to light his cigar, his pipe, or to warm himself up from that candle. And that's all he says. So no further insight into the strength of the analogy from what the Yad Eliyahu actually says inside. Interestingly, the Piskei Tshuva quoted the Yad Eliyahu as being relevant to the third question of being madlik miner l'ner, but that's not that's he talks then about being madlik a pipe from a pipe or a pipe from a candle. He doesn't talk about being madlik ner l'ner directly, which is one of the three cases that the Piskei Teshuva had quoted from the Yad Eliyahu. Okay, just noting that. Then we began last time discussing the din of Shulchan Echad versus Kara Achas. The Darkei Teshuva in Sefkat and Tezayin quotes Achronim who say that, let's say in Hilchos Basar Bechala, so a person eats Fleishik and he's finished eating and he wants to sit at the same table as someone eating Milchik. So the Darkei Teshuva in Hilchos Basar Bechala in Simen Peiches, Sefkat and Tezayin, Simen Peiches, Sefkat and Tezayin, says that if someone was eating fleishiks and finished, and then someone else is eating milchiks, he's allowed to sit at the same table as a person eating milchiks without a hecker, since as long as he's not eating at the moment, even though he himself is fleishik, maybe we should be concerned that he's going to partake of the milchiks that his friend is eating. So there's no requirement of a hecker. The requirement of a hecker in Hilchos Basar Bechalav is only if both people are eating. But to sit at a table with someone else eating, even though if you were to eat his food, that would be a Basar Bechalav problem, that we don't find in Hilchos Basar Bechalav. So the Rav Karp says on this basis in Sivkatan Kavzayin that Hu Adin and Hilchos Nida. Let's say one spouse is eating, the other spouse is sitting at the table for company. As long as the second spouse is not eating anything, there's no need for a heker. There's no restriction of Shulchan Echad. We haven't seen discussed in other poskim, but he assumes that to the extent that that's true by Basar Bechalav, that is true by Isser Nida, by Ishto Nida, as well. One could have argued that maybe someone would argue that when it comes to Nida, there's more of a Kiruv Das consideration. So maybe even if you're not eating, if you're sitting at the same table, someone that is eating, maybe there would be a Kiruv Das consideration, and maybe we should be more machmir than by Basar Bechalav. But again, so Rabbi Karp raises this. I haven't seen this in other poskim. Then Rabbi Karp says in the next Sivkatan Chavches, that let's say you're sitting at the table, but you're not eating on the table. If you're holding a cup in your lap, but you're not putting anything down on the table. So he thinks in that case, there's no need for a heker either. There wouldn't be an Isser Shulchan Echad. Shulchan Echad is the only problem if both parties are actually eating on the table. But even if they're both sitting at the table, if one party has no food on the table, holding a cup, but it's not going on the table, then that wouldn't require a heker. There wouldn't be an Isser of Shulchan Echad. Okay. We had noted last time, quoting Rabbi Morgenstern, that Rabbi Morgenstern assumes that it's necessary for both parties to be aware that there's a hecker. It will be aware what the hecker is. If the husband puts down the hecker and doesn't tell his wife that it's a hecker, and the wife isn't aware that it's a hecker, that doesn't count. I saw in the Chud HaShani that Rav Nissen Karelis assumed not that way. I don't know where he got this from. He assumes that the requirement of a hecker, the Isser Shulchan Echad, is only on the husband and not on the wife. Doesn't explain. And for that reason, he thinks that if the husband knows about the hecker and the wife doesn't, that does not pose a problem, because at the end of the day, it's only the husband's concern and not the wife's concern. One second, looking for Gemara. Hold on a second. I don't know if there's any mashmaos that way. You know, the din of the Mishnah of lo yochel zav imazav bnei hergal avera. Is there any mashmaos that the issue is really only on the zav and not the zava? Lo yochel zav imazav. Rashi says kol sheken tar mazav. The point is that you can't eat b'shochan echad with a zav bnei hergal avera. So anyway, there's a mashmaos there that it's only. We'll see in other contexts. We'll talk about shirei hakos. There are some contexts where we assume that the concern is only one directional, but I haven't seen Poskim raise that in the context of Shulchan Echad. I'm not sure how Rav Nissen Karelitz knows that it's only a concern for the husband and not for the wife.
Isn't it similar? Like if the Achalimi doesn't refer to Shiurei Machal?
I'm sorry?
If like the achol imi of tana d'beilio doesn't
Right.
refer to shiurim, then that could be the same point that the post can say for that.
So we'll talk about the source of shiurim achol. It doesn't. That's you know, the din of shulchan achad is clearly more meikar din, either shulchan achad or karachas, but that is more directly derived from the Gemara and Shabbos than shiur machal or shiur mashka. Shiur machal is derived from shiur mashka. The question is, as we'll see in a few moments, shiur mashka itself, many Rishonim don't have such an issur.
But I'm saying specifically the achol imi of the story.
So the achol imi, that could be b'shulchan echad, right? That's not necessarily shiur machal.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. So then that would fit with what he's saying.
You're saying that's the same mashmaos that that the thrust of the issur is on the husband and on the wife. Okay, that's the same as whether you say that's the mashmaos of layachol zav mezava. Right. Okay.
The Taz on the din of Shire Machel says that the reason is because he will try to convince her to do an Avera, but she won't try to convince him. So
right, so we have that with Shire Machel, with Shire Mashka. We don't.
But if that's the Svara, it should apply to everything.
You're saying it should apply to all our Chakos?
Yeah, the same Svara.
And the Poskim don't say that. I mean, that's only. They say it in the context of Shire Machel, Shire Mashka. Yeah, that's a fair question, maybe, but the Poskim don't say. I mean, the Taz says that in that context. It does say in the context of Shulchan Aruch, and the Poskim don't say in the context of Shulchan Aruch. If you're asking in Svara, why should there be a difference? Is there objectively more of a concern of the wife independently being nichshel or machshel by Shulchan Aruch more than by Shir Macha, Shir Mashka? I'm not sure.
Maybe that's how the Chut Shani is learning.
Okay. I just don't seem to find that in earlier poskim. But you're asking a fair question. Why not? Is there more of a reason that Shulchan Echad should be more bidirectional than Shir Machla, Shir Mashka? I'm not sure.
The reason probably is because all other Hachakos are it's an act as a party. Mm-hmm. Shiurei Machol is the only thing where you're doing something as an individual. Everything else, the Hoshata Zrika, is it's going to apply one to the other because you're both involved in the act. Al Shulchan Aruch, you're both eating on the same table. So there's no natural way for the Shulchan Aruch to say it applies to one but not the other. But when it comes to Shiurei Machol, so the Shulchan Aruch says the halacha focuses only on him drinking, and then you could say the flip side that for her it's mutter.
You say maybe fundamentally all the archakos are really only a concern for the Baal. Just in practice, it takes two to tango. And
exactly.
Raised in the context of Shir Macha, Shir Mashka, where that's not the case. Interesting.
Right. And that's why it would only be mentioned the Shulchan Aruch, because there's no way to formulate it for the other archakos.
Interesting. Okay, I hadn't thought about that,
it also could be totally on, like, we originally said about the reason for hachakos. This is about, like, shichcha in general. That could apply equally to men and women, but it's not, like, Yitzhar Tukvo, and he'll do amazing, so that's generally we think more of a concern by men.
Right, that could be. Yeah, okay. Um, Okay, good. So we also mentioned last time whether there's a need for the hecker to have any particular height. So the Badi Shulchan in Sifkat Mem Aleph assumes that it has to have a gov ksas, which is the lashon that we find in Basar B'Chalav. And therefore, the examples he brings of hekerim that are unacceptable are plates, rings, and keys, because those don't have a gov ksas. What is gov ksas? Not sure. I saw in the Chut Hashani, he says that you can't use a key or a ring, but you could use a watch. But he also assumes that there's no particular shear. I saw in the sefer I mentioned last time that my brother-in-law in Eretz Yisrael gave me that they use for chassan classes there. It's called a binyan bayis neman, written by a Rabbi Silver, Yitzchak Isaac Silver. Thomas from Scheinberg and the Lesson Svi, and Rav Klein from Avosner's Besdin. So he quotes here from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I didn't see this elsewhere, but he said he heard B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that it has to be a sheer tefach, that the hecker has to be a tefach tall. And Nissen Karelev says he's in the Chut Hasheni, no need for a tefach per se, even though he says it has to have some height. If I recall correctly, I think Rabbi Willig doesn't think that there's a need for any particular height, and you can use anything for a hecker. Okay, so let's pick up now where we left off. I'm sorry?
Even plates, rings, and keys?
Again, it has to be something that's clearly there for a hecker. So if it's a plate that you're eating off of, that doesn't help, or just like the lachem that you're eating doesn't help, but in terms of a height, then yeah, if it's something that would be noticeable as a hecker, that would be sufficient, even if it's not of particular height.
Is that Willig rejecting connection to Basar B'Chalav, or do you think that even by Basar B'Chalav potentially?
I don't recall hearing him talk about Basar B'Chalav or asking him what he holds by Basar B'Chalav. Okay. By Basar B'Chalav, typically we use placemats. It doesn't come up as much.
Yeah.
Not sure. So we left off in Sif Gimel, but we didn't really focus last time on the Ramah. So the Mechaber has the din of Shulchan Echad and the need for a Shinoi, what we call a Hecker. And then the Ramah has a Yesh Omer. But before we see the Yesh Omer, the Ramah, and the Haggah, we should know what the Ramah writes in Darkei Moshe. The Ramah writes in Darkei Moshe that the Minog B'chol HaMakomos is to be makbid only on Kara Achas, but not on Shulchan Echad. So the Ramah in Darkei Moshe records that the minog, widespread minog, is only to aser kara achas, but not to require any heker if they're eating at the same table, even on two plates. That sounds like the Rambam, that the Rambam only has an iser kara achas and no iser of Shulchan Echad at all. And if you look in the Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch, it seems even more clear that way, because he quotes the minhag the same way, and then in the next line, he quotes the Rambam. So you get the impression in the Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch that the minhag that he's referencing of only be makbid on Karachas is based on the Rambam, or at least the people's practice was based on Shitas HaRambam. That's not the impression you get from the presentation here in the Haggah. He writes, V'yesh omrim, ha-ditzrichen hefsek bein ka'ara shalo l'ka'ara shala, haynu dafka kishe'enan ochlim v'ka'ara achas kishi Torah. The requirement of a heker is only where they don't normally eat from the same plate when she's tahora. Aval im ochlim v'ka'ara achas kishi Torah, but if the norm is that when she's tahora they eat from the same plate, Sagi emochelis bikar bifnei atzma. then it's sufficient if they have separate plates. The eino tzricha heker acher, she doesn't require a separate heker. The chain no hagin. And that is the minhag. So whereas in the dark emotion, aruch, the Rama says the minhag is to only be makbid on base kairos without qualification. I mean, under all circumstances, shulchan echad would be permissible. Here he says that if the norm is to eat bekarachas bimei tarasa, so then you don't need a heker b'shulchan echad as long as you're eating in separate plates. If the norm would be that even bimei tarasa they eat in separate plates, then you would need a heker b'shulchan echad. So we had noted last time what Rabbi Morgenstern presented as a machlokas between the Ashlam and the Or Zeruah within their presentation of this Shitas HaRambam is the distinction between Kara Achas and Shulchan Echad based simply on Heker, that where the norm is to eat the Kara Achas, then eating B'shtei Karos is enough of a Heker. But if the norm would be to eat B'shtei Karos, then you need more of a Heker. Or is the Shita saying that no, there's no concern of Kirva if you're eating B'shtei Karos, even if you always eat B'shtei Karos. And the only concern of Kirva is if it's B'kar Achas. I guess it's possible that the Ramah here is reflecting the first approach, that even if it's based on the Shita of the Rambam or that camp, that still assumes a distinction between where the norm is to eat B'kar Achas versus where the norm is to eat B'shtei Karos. And if the norm is the B'shtei Karos, then you do need an additional heker. But it's still not the same presentation, or that qualification doesn't appear in the Darkei Moshe. In the Darkei Moshe. Now the Sidrei Tara here in Sifkatan Vav writes that the Ramah writing in Darkei Moshe is talking about the minhag or the common practice in Poland. And in Poland, all the residents of a house would eat from the same plate. I don't know if that was because they were more impoverished and couldn't afford multiple plates. He says in Poland, everyone ate from the same plate. And that's why the Rama says the minhag in Poland was that bimei nidusa is sufficient to eat on separate plates and no need for a further heker. But in Germany, in Medinos Ashkenaz, everyone always ate from separate plates. Then there is a need for heker. And I think what he's saying is, I'm assuming he means that since the Ramah in the Haggah was meant for a broader audience than just the Jews of Poland, then the Ramah has this qualification, which he thought was relevant for the Jews in Germany, even if it wasn't relevant for the Jews in Poland. So I've never seen that in other contexts, that the Darkei Moshe is only writing about the Jews in Poland, but the Darkei Moshe in the Haggah, the Ramah, the Haggah, and Shulchan Aruch was intended for a broader audience, but I'm assuming that sounds like what the Sidrei Tara is saying. And the Shachir in Sivkat and Zayin quotes a Bach on the Siyah Shomrim, because of a Bach, the Aflus Varuzu, Eina Ela Kishagamine Abayis. Ochli mimahem al shulchan echa biyachad. Hasam hu deshari kishi ochelas miyakara shalah. Afa pisha ochel mamapa echad beloshem heker. Aval kishi b'nei abayis ochlin al shulchan echad. Vaish vaisha ochlin levadin al shulchan echad. Kol echa mikara shalah. Aser. Afilu hayaragila cholima bekara achas. Umash v'dvar v'dachi kamar kishi ein shabinei bayis klal aser. He goes in the Bach, further qualification, that even though the Rama says that if in general they were to eat bekarachas, and now they're eating b'shtei karos, you don't need another heker. That's only true if there are other people at the table. But if there are no other people at the table, even if you normally eat bekarachas, you still need a heker on top of shtei karos if they are b'shulchan echad. So that's chaser from the Ramah here, and the Shach questions whether that is indeed correct. And that goes back to what we discussed last time, the position of the Ra'ah and the Ritva, that there's a difference in terms of the need for Heker between whether there are other people present or not. Okay. The Taz writes in Sifkat and Beis, Od Ra'isi Shtus, according from the Bach, and this comes from the Marashal, Od Ra'isi Shtus Gadol, Sheminatkin Chasichas Ketanos Bekara Achas. So he saw a inappropriate practice, a practice based on a ridiculous premise, that people would cut small pieces and put them on one plate. Who knows tell achas, vino tell us achas. It says the husband takes a piece, then the wife takes a piece. Agmar achila. So each one would continue taking pieces until the plate is empty. The shibish gadol hu. The pshita, the chashav achila, ad kan lishona. Hu gami sefer marshal, vamikomoko mashma, because shemasirin kara ima chasichos gedolos, Kederach shemasim in the kedera, we call echa noto min akara, who made them lefanav al kli miyuchad. However, so the marshal and the Bach say that what's inappropriate is there are pieces on a what we'll call a serving tray, and everybody takes they go back and forth, the husband and wife taking pieces from the serving tray. That's wrong. That's considered karachas. However, says the Taz, if the pieces are big pieces, they call echa noto min ha-ka'aro nesim lefanav al-kli miyuchad, and everybody takes off the serving tray and puts a piece on their own plate, the ochel misham, and eats off their own plate, ein baza iser, kevin de ein achila miyad bilki chaso mikara shel locha. That's not a problem because they're not eating directly from the plate. We use another kli in the interim. So under these circumstances, the Taz says, this kind of a serving tray is not a problem. So the Taz has a few ingredients here in the way he presents the situation that's mutter. He says they're big pieces. You're taking it off and not eating it directly, but you're putting it in front of you on a plate. So our all of those factors necessary in order to create a heter of a serving tray. In the Sefer Sugah B'Shoshanim, page 35, he quotes three approaches in Achronim as far as what are the critical factors in this din as far as the way the Taz presents. So he quotes from Sefer Beis Yisrael in Be'er Mordechai that when the Taz writes that you have to put it on your own, that you put it on your own plate, Nathan Lefanov al Kli Miyuchad, that's Dafka. That unless you're going to put it on your own plate, then it's still Misyaches to the serving tray, and that would be considered to be Kara Achas. So if you were to take something off the serving tray and put it directly in your mouth, or even he says, if you take butter from the middle of the table and you put it on your bread and you put it directly in your mouth, if you're not putting it first on a plate, that would be problematic. The way of defining the serving tray as a serving tray is that there's no connection between the tray and you're eating the food. It has to stop at your own plate on the way to your mouth. And anything short of that would be considered kara achas. That's approach number one. Then he notes that the Sidrei Tara in Sifkata and Ches doesn't mention in presenting this the need to put it on your own plate. He just says that there's a hefsek. According to that, even if you put it on the table, that's also a hefsek. And even if there's some delay in time, that would be a hefsek. If you were to, even if you don't have a plate in front of you, you take it off the serving tray, you put it in front of you, or you take it off the serving tray and you hold it for 2 minutes. It doesn't define what the length of hefsek necessary would be. But you take it off the serving tray and you hold it for a couple of minutes. That would be sufficient as well to create a break between the serving tray and your eating, such that it wouldn't be considered kara achas. And then he quotes from the Prideya that the point of the tas is that there has to be a hacker. There has to be a noting in some way that this isn't the normal way of taking food. So as long as you don't take it directly off the tray and put it directly in your mouth, any kind of hacker that would speak to doing things differently would be sufficient. If it's not the derech, if it's not the normal way of using the serving tray, then that would be not the normal way of eating food off a plate. Then that would be sufficient. So nafkamina, he says as follows. So according to the first reason of the basis on the Ber Mordechai that you need a plate, anything short of a plate won't be good. So even if you put it on the table in front of you, that is insufficient. If the reason is there has to be a hefsek of some sort according to Sidre Tyra, then putting it on the plate on the table in front of you would be a hefsek, even if there's no kli there. And according to the Prideya, that everything depends on Hecker. So the question is, only is this the derech or not? If you normally eat from the same plate in a more intimate way, would you typically put it on the table in front of you before eating it or not? If typically you would eat it directly, then putting it on the table in front of you would be a sufficient hecker. He says another nafkamina, let's say you have a basket of fruit. So can you take an apple out of the basket of fruit and eat it? According to the first approach that you need dafka, a plate in front of you, even if you have a fruit basket, if you don't put it on the plate in front of you first, it wouldn't help. However, according to the Sidre Tyra, they were looking for some kind of a hefsek. So it could be the fact that you're picking up the apple. The fact that you're picking up the apple, maybe that's enough of a hefsek, because that's like you're putting it into another kli. You're putting it into your hand. It's a separate unit. Maybe that would be sufficient. Not necessarily bechreach that you consider your hand to be a separate kli. That would be enough of a hefsek, but that's what he suggests. If the reason is hecker, so he says there's no hecker, because you normally pick up an apple and put it straight in your mouth. So that's no different than the norm. So the only safe way of taking an apple from a fruit bowl, he says, would be if you put it down on a plate, and that would satisfy all of these achronim.
Ready?
Yeah.
What about condiments, like ketchup, and you like put it on a hot dog? Is that like a hefsek coin? Is that considered a hefsek?
You take a ketchup bottle and put it on your hot dog? I think that that would probably be a hefsek according to everyone, because you're not eating.
Well, it's not on the plate. Meaning, it's directly on the food item and not putting it on the plate.
So maybe.
Isn't that analogous to the bread and butter case?
It may be better than the bread and butter case, because in the butter, is that the same thing or is it better? In the butter case, you're taking butter from the butter container and putting it on your bread. And here you're taking ketchup and putting it on your bread. I guess it is the same thing.
Would that be mutter according to the Sidre Tara? Is that considered enough of a hefsek, putting it on bread?
I would think if you put it on the bread and put the bread down in front of you before you eat it, that should definitely be okay according to the Seder Torah. If you're putting it on the bread and eating it straight away, arguably even that could be okay, because maybe that's still a hefsek. You're not taking it off the plate and putting it directly in your mouth. First, you're putting it on the bread, and then eating the bread. But definitely, if you put the bread in front of you, and arguably even if you don't put the bread in front of you, if you're spreading it on the bread before eating the bread, maybe that's enough of the hefsek, according to the Seder Torah as well.
What about a fork?
A fork. Meaning you're taking it off the serving tray with a fork. The fork may be like an ilchus bow or an extension of the hand.
Apparently a hand's a kli also. So,
but right. So I'm not so enamored with that argument that the hand would be considered like a kli. A hefsek is still maybe. If you're taking something with a fork and putting it directly in your mouth, I would be inclined to think that's the same thing as taking it with your hand and putting it in your mouth. I don't think the fork. I think here also the fork would be yad arechta.
One other question.
Yeah.
Michael could go first. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The why did Taz mention big pieces? That's just a hechitimsa for a reason why you're putting on your plates, but like it doesn't seem to be necessary according to any of these shitas.
Right. Could be that is the norm, meaning the normal tzir of a serving tray where you're putting things on your plate is that you have a big piece of chicken, you're taking it off the serving tray and putting it on your plate. But in a chanami, I think you're correct that all these three approaches in achronim would have the same allowance if they're small pieces as well. Got there.
I'm just having trouble understanding the svara of the prideya. Why would you need a heker for the serving tray if you already have a heker in the way that you're eating? There's a, whether it's shtei shulchanos or it's shtei ka'aros, you already have a heker. So the serving tray is just a question of whether we consider that a further ka'ara achas. So what, but if we don't, why do you need another heker for that?
Well, a heker won't help for karachas, meaning let's say if you're sitting b'shulchan echad and you have a heker between you, that doesn't help, that doesn't allow you to eat me karachas. Karachas is still going to be usher, right? In the other direction, according to half the Rishonim, if the norm is deep b'karachas and you b'shtei karos, then you don't need a heker. But where you do need a heker b'shulchan echad, there still is for karachas.
Right. I guess what I'm asking is, right, I understand that. I guess maybe my question doesn't make sense. But what I guess what I was asking was, like, on our serving trays, and if you already are eating on separate plates, then it's a clear hecker that you're not eating together. So then don't you already have a hecker in place? That's what I was asking. But I guess, right.
So the Prideya may acknowledge that, meaning if you put it on your plate, then that would be considered a hecker. He's saying maybe you don't even have to come on to that. There's even something short of putting on your plate could also be a heker if it's not the normal way that you would eat mikarachas. According to the first approach in Achronon that we quoted, you need an extreme. You need to have to go on your plate. And anything short of that, even if you put it on the table, is no good. According to Prideya, putting it on the table should be good. And anything that would be different than the normal way of eating mikarachas would be sufficient. That's more of a kula relative to the others. Okay, then he says in the Sugaba Shoshanim, what about sugar cubes? Anyone have tea with sugar cubes? No. Yeah, Micah? You are really old-fashioned. If you have a tray with sugar cubes, he says the following, that if both husband and wife only need one sugar cube, then he thinks that they can both take one sugar cube and put it directly in their mouth. Because if, sounds like he's assuming, if you only take something once, so then that's not karachas. Karachas is, as the Taz quoted from the Marshal and the Bach, if they're going back and forth, then keep on taking. But if each party only takes one thing off the serving tray once, then even if you put it directly in your mouth, there wouldn't be a problem of karachas. If you're going to take more than once, you need more than one cube, so then you run into the problems of karachas. So again, if putting it, according to approach number one, if you need to put it on a plate, you have to put it on a plate. According to approach number two, you can put it on the table. Okay.
For most practical situations, won't this point be the best heter? That if you're using a serving tray and each person just takes their food at the beginning of the meal, so then you don't have any shaylos, right?
I think that's correct. But okay. In most situations, if you have a serving tray, unless the situations in which you have a serving tray that you're just taking a normal portion, you're going to put on your plate anyway. So then you'll be covered going to everyone. The situations where it's more relevant are where you have nuts or fruits or chips or things like that, and people continually take.
But also condiments, like mushy was raising. So if you
I'll talk about dips in a minute.
If just at the beginning of the meal, you put ketchup on your hot dog or butter on the bread, so then the shiloh wouldn't begin.
I guess that should be so, unless if it's a derech to go back and forth. No, so maybe even then it's okay. Okay. So Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Ovi Yashiv about popcorn and chips. If you have a bowl of popcorn or chips in the middle of the table, so if you just take a large helping and put it on your plate in front of you, that would be okay. But as Rabbi Willie pointed out, if you're going to take directly into your mouth, then that's a problem. That's a classic karachas problem, subject to what we just discussed. So putting it on your plate would solve the problem. Putting it directly into your mouth, according to everyone, should be a problem. Same thing if you have bag of potato chips. So taking both husband and wife taking out of the same bag and eating them from the bag would be problematic. If you have the bag as a serving tray and then you put it on a plate, or even maybe put it on the table and eat it from the table, then that could be okay. What about dips? Sticking your vegetable into a dip. So in the Sugaba Shoshanim, he quotes about the salt. He leaves out with Tzaruch Ian, can you dip something into a shared salt dish? But that presumably should be the same issue as putting a vegetable into a dip. The Sugaba Shoshanim says, if you have a salt dish, so if you just use it for hamotzi, so then mistaber that each one can dip their bread in hamotzi because that's the end of the story and they're not using it further, as we said before with the sugar cubes. If they want to take salt in the middle of the meal, so then better that everyone should take salt from the salt tray and put it on their plate, and then they can dip it dip their food into the salt on the plate. If they both want to dip their bread into the salt in the middle of the meal, he says, Mistabra da'aser. And similarly, if you want to take salt from the salt dish and put it in your mouth, which may not be too refined anyway. And he also leaves with a tzarachi, and let's say you have a salt holder or a salt dish that has two compartments. So can you be miyached each compartment for each spouse? You have two salt compartments, so the husband will use one and the wife will use the other. He's not sure about that. But presumably the same issue should apply to dips. You want to dip your vegetable in a dip. So then going back and forth and dipping would potentially be problematic, and better to just put the dip on your plate. Rabbi Forrest is machmer on this. Rabbi Willick thought that you could be makel, and this would be relevant to salt as well, because the dip is secondary to the vegetable. So if it's just lalafes as the vegetable, he thought that that wouldn't be a problem of karachas because the dip is secondary. And that wouldn't help for the people that think the dip is the ikker and the vegetable is just the hechatim, so they eat the dip. So then that fire wouldn't apply. But if the dip is just to give a little bit extra taste to complement the vegetable, Rabbi Willer thought that that wouldn't be a problem of karachas if the ikker is a vegetable. And then huadin with salt, the same svara could apply. Ramosha has a chiddush, which ends up being a chiddush both lekula and lechumra.
Yeah, just in the case of dips, if you would just put it on your plate, like for example, you want dips on your challah,
right?
Vegetable. So if you just put it on your plate, so lechor for all three, that'd be fine.
That'd be fine. Yeah, that works for everyone.
Isn't that like the most common case of a dip?
That you're saying art? Well, depends where you are.
Or like a cream cheese or butter.
I'm saying if you have like a fancy platter with vegetables around it and a dip in the middle. So depending on how refined you are, you might just take the vegetable off the platter and dip it in the dip in the middle.
Like bagel and cream cheese is more common.
Could be. If the kind of person that takes cubes with your sugar, you probably wouldn't dip a vegetable in the middle of the dip. So Ramosha has the...
question.
Sorry, Micah?
I have a question about that also. The going back to the salt shaker two compartments thing, so is that really mostly, I guess maybe it's not exactly that case, but how do we deal with, like, if you have a container that has like one of those candy containers that has a bunch of different slots in it. Mm-hmm. And so do we consider that karachas?
Yeah, I think that's karachas. I think he leaves out the tzarachi in the sugaba shoshanim, whether having two compartments would make it two kalim. I think it's more mistaber that it's one kli. And probably huadin, if you have a platter with different compartments, it's commonly viewed as one platter. You know, there are different compartments because you don't want to mix everything together. I guess theoretically, you could argue that if there's an understanding that I'm only going to take from this compartment, you're only going to take from that compartment, then it's like two kalim. But if people would take, then maybe you could construct something like that. But I think that my niti is that the default would be that it's one kli.
And then would it make, I assume this would be the same, but like it probably would make an impact on whether like the things are detachable. Like you could have like a plate that's like a plate that has like little bowls that go on it and the bowls come off. So
maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe perception oriented. I'm not sure. I could see it either way. Not sure. Or both ways. Okay. So Ramosha Chelik Aleph Simin Sadi Beis. Tishrei 1951. Tshuva to Rabbi Binyamin Zev Sugar. I believe subsequent to that was the longtime first grade Rabbi in MTJ. Mashahiksha Yedidi. Maishna Path Shemashma Miatasukatan Aleph Shikholun Lechol Mipathachas. That's a interesting inference, because the Mechaber says that you could use lechem as a heker. Says the Taz, that's only if you're not eating from the lechem. So mashma that there's a hechatimsa where they could be eating from the same lechem. It says maishna lechem, where's mavur from the Taz, that they could eat from the same loaf of bread. And karaachas, where they can't eat from the same plate. So they can eat from the same plate, they can eat from the same loaf of bread, but they can't eat from the same plate. It says Ramosha, it's Pashut, that the path that we're talking about, that's mutter, is a big loaf of bread, which is meant for multiple people to consume, and you cut it into pieces. And everyone's having their own piece. So you have a challah, you cut the challah into pieces, everybody can have the same piece, as long as you don't eat from your spouse's piece, which would be a shir machal problem, that's okay. He says, near a pashut, me'achalos ha'ketanos ha'nekram rolls, v'chadome, shunasa rak achilas echad, yuasurin lechol shnei me'achad. But if you have a roll that's intended as a individual portion, that a roll is only meant for one person to eat, then that would be a problem to cut a roll in half, even if no one, you didn't take a bite of the half and then gave it to your wife. You're cutting the roll in half with kachila, but if it's meant as an individual portion, that's a problem. What about a can or a jug? Or it sounds like they could both drink from the same jug. So that's also, where's a big jug? If it's a pitcher, it's intended that you pour from the pitcher into your cup, they can use the same pitcher. But if it's a kli katan, shunasa l'shtias echad, mistaber shiva suid lishto shnei mimenu, af ayide sheyichu mimenu l'kelim acherim. But if it's intended as a single portion, you have a soda can. The soda can is typically meant for one person to drink. So even if you'll open the soda can and he'll pour half of the can into his cup and she'll pour half of the can into her cup, that's still a problem. So he says, the ka'ara that is aser is the following. If the derech is that it's meant for one person and both people are going to eat from the same ka'ara, that's a problem. Even independent of shiri machal, the yisur karachas has nothing to do with shiri machal. Even if each of them will split the food in half, one will eat from one side of the plate, the other will eat from the other side of the plate, that's still a problem of karachas. That engenders kirva. He says, and this answers Michael's question. L'chein kosev ataz, demashma, dekeshenosnin bekara chasichos hagedolos, she'ein aderech lasei zel lefnei echad ela harbe she'ichu misham lechol bekelem acherim, ein beza iser, batam shehu kumo pasagol v'kankan godo. That's why the Taz says chasichos gedolos, because that's something that's meant for multiple people to eat. If you have a serving tray, that is a lot of big pieces of chicken. It wasn't intended for one person to eat all the chicken on the tray. So it's dafka with chasichos gedolos that indicates that the intention was for multiple people to eat, and that's not a problem of kara achas. She'ikar etam hu dedaber shaderech hu laseis la'echas shayet kiru das v'chiba k'shiyocha shnei mimenu. That the thrust of kara achas is that it engenders chiba. So if it's something that's meant for one person, and two people eat it, that engenders chippa. If you have a soda can that's meant for one person and two people drink it, that's an iser karachas. If you have a roll that's meant for one person and two people eat it, that's considered karachas. So Moshe says, in Mela Nira, that if you have a butter tray, a butter plate, and the norm is that everybody takes with their own spoon and knife from the butter to put on their piece of bread, that should be okay. Because that's meant for more than one person. Even though the Taz says, chasichos gedolos, but that's lav dafka. The point is it something meant for one person or something meant for multiple people? He says, mikol makom, yafel hachmir on the butter, because it still looks like karachas. And sometimes you can come to shiur machal if you're not careful. So better not to take butter from the same butter tray, but Medina, there's no iser in the butter. So Moshe assumes that gedolos, chasichos gedolos in the Taz is significant, but it's not significant per se. It's reflective of the size of the portion. If the portions on the serving tray are meant for multiple people, that's not an iser karachas. If the portions are meant for one person, the portion is meant for one person, that is karachas. And everything is really based on derechiba. Now the reason for the iser karachas is it's something that engenders chiba. So Moshe ends up with a kula and with a chumra. The kula of Rav Moshe is that there's no need to solve the karachas problem. There's no need for putting it on a different plate or even in front of you per se if it's something that's designated for multiple people. So if you have a serving tray where it's clear that the portions on the serving tray are intended for multiple people, then there's no chashash of karachas, even if you were to take it off the tray and put it directly in your mouth, which is why Rav Moshe assumes that in principle, there's no problem taking butter from the butter tray without qualification, even though he thinks that it's kedai lahachmir anyway. So that's the kula that emerges from Rav Moshe's argument. The chumra is that if you have something that is designated as, perceived as a single portion, then that's an iser karachas under all circumstances. So if you have a roll, both husband and wife couldn't cut the roll in half and eat it. If you have a can of soda, both husband and wife couldn't split the can, even if they're pouring it into their own cups. That ends up being a big chumra. Rabbi Forst notes that you don't find this chumra in other poskim, that Rav Moshe is the only one who, people quote Rav Moshe afterwards, but before Rav Moshe, no one said this. And then Rabbi Forst points out that according to Rav Moshe, you wouldn't be able to order one portion in a restaurant and then switch and then split it to into two plates. If you don't assume like Rav Moshe, you could go to a Chinese restaurant and order whatever single portion and split it onto two plates in a way that you don't have any shiurei machal problem. Or you could order two portions and then split the two onto two plates or three plates, like your kosher shever brachos. But if you assume like Rav Moshe, then as long as one portion is designated for intended for one person, then you're going to run into a shiurei, you're going to run into karachas problem regardless. So you couldn't order a soda can or buy a soda can or a Snapple bottle and pour it into two cups because that would be karachas, even if there's no shiur machal, shiur mashke problem to speak of. That's Rav Moshe's chumra. I think the chumrah is more extreme than the kula, or the relative exposure of the chumrah is greater than the relative benefit of the kula. Rabbi Willa didn't think that it was necessary to be machmir like Rav Moshe on the roll or the soda can or the like. I saw in Rabbi Forsheimer's Sefer in the Pritara, he writes that even according to Rav Moshe, you could be makel on a shalashudas roll, a roll for shalashudas, because shalashudas, the norm is that you cut a roll for more than one person. I would have thought that Hagufa, if you're going to say that, so isn't that the Raya, isn't that a proof or an indication that a roll, the FSM, isn't intended for only one person? Meaning if there are certain contexts in which you cut a roll and split it, so shouldn't that indicate that even if it's something like a motion theory, but a roll isn't intended for one person? Not sure. You could argue the same thing by a soda can. How many of you have ever bought a soda can and split it between two people? So would you say that the etzem, a soda can, is intended for one person?
And why would they make big bottles?
I mean, one bottle coming from one person, just ask Fern about his afternoon seder and shall then.
I don't think I've ever willingly shared a soda can or have been happy about the fact that I was sharing a soda can.
Even with your wife?
I may have told her I was happy about it.
That'll stay between us. I'm not sure, but whether or not you accept the presumption of Rav Moshe, it is a chiddush, and it doesn't seem to be broadly accepted by the world at large. But that's Rav Moshe's shita. Okay. Can we go another 10 minutes? Fine. So let's start talking about Shirei Hakos. Now, the Rama in the last line in Sif Gemel talks about Shirei Machal, but Shirei Machal is really derived from Shirei Hakos, which is Sif Dalid. So we'll have to look at Shirei Hakos first, and then we'll come back to Shirei Machal next time, Ritz Hashem. Mechaber writes in Sif Dalid, Lo yishta mishirei kos sheshas sahi. A husband is not allowed to drink from the leftovers of a cup that his wife had to drink. And most Rishonim do not have an isser of shirei hakos at all. Doesn't appear in the Rambam, doesn't appear in the Rush, does not appear in the Rashba. And the Tor, Ikaradin, assumes that there's no isser of shirei hakos. Where does it come from? So that goes Maimini, Perikid Aleph Oslam, and Perikid Aleph Oslam, and Isirei Bia, quotes in the Urayim. Such a iser based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Lashon of the Agos Maimonios, he says, B'sefer truma v'amitzvos kasav, she'asu lachal imal shulchan achad, etc. So he quotes the din first of shulchan achad, and then he writes, v'afilu lishtos b'kli she'shasisabo, even to drink from the same cup that your wife drank from, kasav hayureim she'aser, Kidamashma Hassam Gabi Uvda Datana Develio. So Yerayim says it's us. They're based on Shabbos Daf Yugimel. Achal Imi Vishasa Imi. Baruch HaMachim Shaharago Mashma. Shalakol Nenash. He was punished for the whole list, which included Achal Imi Vishasa Imi. Dimlokein Malo Latama Lahaskir. Elamdenu Shalakol Eile Nenash. So Achli mi, shasi mi, understands to me that to mean that he ate from her shiurekos. And then the Hagos Maimonides goes on to quote a couple exceptions, which we'll come back to. Aval im hura kamashkim kli al kli, if acher, if you poured it from one kli to another, afilim hosa kli rishon, even if you returned it back to the original kli, mutar la lishasi mena. There's no iser of his drinking, of her drinking, his shirei hakos. The tadan lo yochel zav mazav, who adin lo yishte, lo ka'amar lo sochel zav mazav, ad ka mi sefer yureya. V'chenira achal v'shasi imi, not achalti v'shasisi imo, and not achalnu v'shasinu yachad. So that's the Yireim quoted in the Hagos Maimonides, is a Shirei HaKos based on the time of the Ve'el Yahu Maisa. In Beis Yosef, it emerges that this is B'toris Minog. Even though, as Rabbi Carr points out in the presentation of the Mechaber, so same, lo yishta mishirei kos shasa sahi, no indication that it's only misha minhag per se. What's the difference, or what's the reason for the distinction between his kos and her kos? The Beis Yosef writes that his drinking from her kos is usher to avoid a hergel davar. But his drinking from her kos, we're not concerned about because lo margalale, that's not going to lead to the same level of hergal davar. And so writes the Taz in Sifkatan Hey and the Torah Sashlamim in Sifkatan Zayin. Badi Yosholchan writes in Sifkatan Samech that the Isser Shirei HaKos applies to drinking out of the same bottle, out of the same can. Because whatever's left in the can or in the bottle is considered her Shirei HaKos. Not only if you pour into her cup and then you drink from her cup, but even if it's in the bottle, and she drank from the bottle, you continue to drink. That's the same isser of Shiurei HaKos. Rav Avadya writes the following in Cheleches Yabia Omer Simen Yudzayin Os Gimel. Cheleches Yabia Omer Simen Yudzayin Os Gimel. The Shoel asked, what's the din of a soda can? If she drinks with a straw, can he continue to drink with a different straw? So Rav Avadya, at least for Sfardin, thinks that you could be, well, Rav Avadya thinks you could be mekel. Why? The whole isser of Shirei HaKos is Talib Machlokas. Many Rishonim don't have it at all. Even though the Minhag Olam is to be Machmir, however, if you change a straw, so that's a hecker. The fact that you aren't using her straw, that's enough of a hecker, and therefore be mutter to drink from the same can with a different straw. So that's chiddush. I don't think most poskim agree with that. I think we would assume that that's also shiurei mashka. You're drinking the same drink from the same cup. It doesn't make a difference that you're using a different straw. The Mordechai that the Beis Yosef quotes writes, according to the Ravia, Nida sheshasasa bekos, v'nishar bo kitzas, halacha kibalti mirabosai. So if Nida drinks from a cup, there's a little bit left, halacha kibalti mirabosai leheter, de'ein zeh shosa ima mamish. So that's a strange line. Nida shishasas abakos, the nisher bo ktsas, there's a little bit left. Halacha kibalti mirabose leheter, de ein zeshosa ima mamish. That sounds like if there's only a little bit left, that's not shosa ima mamish. Sounds like in general, shirei kos is because it's like you're drinking together. And here is only a little bit left, that's okay. If you look at the Mordechai the way we have it, Simen Tav Shin Mem Gimel, there's a very significant, slight but significant girsa change. Instead of halacha kibalti me'rabosai, our Mordechai says, nida shishasa bekos v'nisha boksas v'halcha la. Not halacha, but halcha la. Kibalti me'rabosai leheter. Totally different case. The woman left. The wife left. She started drinking from the cup. She put it down. She went shopping. In that case, the Mordechai says it's mutter. The Beit Yosef quotes from Mordechai, it sounds like nothing to do with whether she's there or not. A little bit left is okay. The Mordechai Lefanenu is dafka that she left. So if she leaves, so then there's no shaychus to that cup anymore. The fact that an hour ago she drank from it doesn't make a difference. Writes the Badi Shulchan, Rabbi Karb says this also, the Badi Shulchan Sefkat and Ayin Dalid. You could ask her to leave. Ari, if you're upset that she started drinking your soda can, you can ask her to leave and finish it. That's not Bechlal, the Isser of Shirei HaKos. And the Piskei Tshuva Kos in the Yad Eliyahu, the Piskei Tshuva Sefkat and Zayin, that once she left, you can continue even if she came back. She left, you picked it up, you're finishing, and now she came back before you stopped, before you finished. So he says that's also okay. Because once she leaves, then the shaykhus is severed, and that's no longer considered shirekos. And Piskei Tshuva quotes the same thing. Let's say she's pirsanid in the middle. She started drinking the soda can. And you continue. And before you finish, she's pirsanida. So there too, that's not considered shirekos because at the time that you started, there was no problem. Rabbi Kiva Eger argues on this Yad Eliyahu. Rabbi Kiva Eger al Gilyon here. All right. Neyachar shekvar halcha. Right, that's the lashon the Ramah is im shasa mikalas v'halchala. Yesh omer shemutter la lishta samoser miyachas shekvar halcha ein kan chiba. So we give Eger quotes the Yad Eliyahu, and he writes, "I am ashekasev la b'sefer Birka Yosef." That the Birka Yosef argues. But I think we assume like the Yad Eliyahu that if she left, there's no problem of Shiurei Hakos. Two more quick nakudas and then we'll stop. Ramosha Yoredei Chele Bei Simon Pei Gimel. What about Kiddush? So Kiddush, there are two issues you have to deal with. Number one, Shiurei Hakos. And number two, Shigiras Hakos. So Shigiras Hakos we'll talk about next time. But as far as Shiurei Hakos, Ramosha says, are you allowed to drink from the same Kiddush cup that your husband drank from? So there's no Isser of Shiurei Hakos for the wife to drink from the husband's cup. So Heter Gomer. The husband, if she doesn't finish it, the husband can't take it back and finish it up. But as long as the husband doesn't take it a second time, that's Heter Gomer. That's as far as Shiurei Hakos, and Shigiras Hakos we'll talk about next time. And finally, the Shach here in Sifkatan Tess writes, the Isser of Shiurei Hakos is even if you fill it up. She drinks half a cup, and now you're going to fill it up again. But the half a cup that she left there, that's still considered Shiurei Hakos. That's still a problem. But he says the minig is not to rinse it out. Because even if there are a few drops left from what she drank, and now you're going to use the same cup and pour something else in, that's okay, you don't have to rinse it out. The Bar Hetev quotes Machmir Tavel of Bracha to rinse it out. Rabbi Karp thinks that the Machmir Tavel of Bracha of rinsing it out, that's Mishum Toma, that there are certain areas of our Chokas that have a resonance. It's the Mavur in some Rishonim this way, resonance of the Tumah of Nida as opposed to just our Chokas. And maybe that's where rinsing it out comes from, but not necessarily for the din of Shiurei Hakos. Okay, we'll stop here. And then tomorrow, same time, but in person, Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up with Shiurei Machal and then other coast-related issues.
Thank you.